Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. Verses 15 to 22, Exodus chapter 1. Then looking in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." But the man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If this bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." Verses 25 to 37, Luke chapter 10. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which guides us, counsels us, empowers us, informs us, molds and shapes us. Thank you for the privilege of being able to open your word every day and spend time one-on-one with you as you spend time helping us to become more and more like you. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that we would become more diligent students of your word, believers who are faithful hearers of your word and doers as well. Help us to know, Lord, that you've called us as the church to be a church of action, a church who walks in love continually, a church that walks in compassion. Help us to recognize you've called us to boldly stand for life and stand against the tragedy of abortion. And more, teach us to know exactly what that means, how we're to live that out individually and as local churches and as the body of Christ as a whole. Help us to never be complacent. But also, Lord, even beyond that, you've called us to be a church of love. You've called us to reach out to a world that's hurting and that in so many ways has been beat up and left on the side of the road for dead. Help us to never be like the priest or the Levite who chose to simply see the problem and pass by on the other side. Help us to walk in the grace, power, and wisdom of the Samaritan, to be a church full of compassion, full of mercy, full of grace, a church that is continually listening to the Holy Spirit insofar as how we reach out to a world that hurts, and that we're ready to be your vessels and ambassadors of love and mercy everywhere you would want us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that I want to come in agreement first with Pastor Joseph that we would just strive to be more like the Good Samaritan. Father, you were that Good Samaritan to us. You stopped on the side of the road for us. And Father, I ask that we would grow in confidence and boldness in answering the call to be the one that step out first. Father, thank you so much for being a good teacher. Thank you so much for grace, so much for peace. And I ask for this Holy Spirit to come and strengthen us as we pursue walking in your steps. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're very honored to have as our phone guest today, Serena Dykeson. She's the founder of a ministry entitled She Found His Grace Ministries, as well as a servant that loves Jesus and lives for him. Serena, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
Really good. Really good. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. And if you'll take time now, Serena, to further introduce yourself to our listeners, as well as tell them what the mission and the work behind She Found His Grace Ministries is.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me on today and for your heart for the preborn, but also the men and women who have been hurt by abortion. So I just want to thank you for that. And As stated, I am Serena Dykeson. I am the founder of She Found His Grace Ministries, which is a ministry that helps men and women who regret their abortions find freedom in Christ. And it was a ministry that was birthed by God from my own pain of having an abortion at the age of 13. I was sexually assaulted by a relative, and my family just really found themselves in a place of disbelief and not knowing what to do. And we ended up going to a Catholic pro-life doctor who had what I tell people a misplaced compassion. And he recommended abortion. And what I can tell you is,
Serena,
that
would you restate that again? I think you may have cut out a moment. What was the term? Did you say misplaced? Could you repeat that again?
Yep, he had a misplaced compassion.
Misplaced compassion. Could you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah. So, you know, he saw the age that I was 13. He also, you know, the circumstance of a rape and an unplanned pregnancy. And so instead of standing on his values of life is life no matter what, he just really ended up having a false misplaced compassion. And that haunts him still to this day. He regrets that decision, and that's something that he still struggles with. And so I always tell people that, he wished that he could have done something different. And so we have to be very, very careful of not having a misplaced compassion when it comes to abortion, and really just stand on what God's standards is for life. So, yeah.
Well, before you proceed, would you take time now specifically to pray for individuals that have been through who've been violated in that way? And, you know, the fact is that that's a trauma that probably only people who've been through that can even identify with. But many that are hurting in so many different ways and instances from that. Would you pray for those individuals now?
Yes, I would be honored. So, Father God, I pray for anybody who has experienced being sexually assaulted. God, we know that grieves your heart. And I know so many of us who have gone through being sexually abused, we struggle with a lot of shame and a lot of guilt and, God, a lot of questions. Sometimes we even struggle with being angry. And God, I just ask that you would heal those hearts of the shame and the guilt, and God, that the sexual abuse would not become their identity, but you are their identity. God, that they would get healing from that trauma. God, that they would be open. God, I also ask that you would remove any bitter roots in the name of Jesus. God, that is, and we know that God, by forgiving doesn't mean that we say it's okay what happened, but God, what we're doing is not drinking the poison of bitterness. So I pray that over anybody that is listening today, that they would not continue to drink the bitterness of that bitterness of unforgiveness. And God, I just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you'll just pick up and continue with your story at that point, please.
Mm-hmm. So my parents, they took the advice of the doctor, and we went for the abortion, and I was taken to an abortion clinic. And as a 13-year-old, I was separated from my parents, and I was told that it was just a clump of cells. And to be honest, I had no idea really what they were talking about. I thought we were at a doctor's office. I thought that they were going to help us, and I didn't know how they were going to help us, but I trusted them. And what ended up happening was horrific in that clinic, and my mom was told that she couldn't help me. And that resulted in my mom having a mental breakdown because of just without going into a lot of details. That was very, very hard for her. My dad, he ended up eventually leaving our family, and we didn't recover as a family after the abortion. And really what our family needed was counseling. We needed people to help support us as we went through the court case. And those things were really not offered to us. And so you have a family that's going through trauma and trying to navigate that with some unhealed wounds. And it would just really set us up for disaster. And my family was not believers at the time either, so that wasn't helpful either. But at 16, I ended up facing an unplanned pregnancy again, and Planned Parenthood had just been in our school. And I tell people all the time, know who's coming into your school. Ask questions, because there are medical providers that are coming in using Planned Parenthood's sex education to get into the schools to sell abortions. So parents, just know that. Ask lots of questions if you don't home your kids.
Serena, I'm going to jump in right here. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Serena Dykson. She's the founder of the ministry She Found. She Found His Grace Ministries. We'll be right back.
Breathe. What if it's here? with a stranger who already knew your name. What if it's him? What if it's God speaking?
Music of Mandisa with God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're privileged to have as our phone guest today Serena Dykeson. She's the founder of the ministry She Found His Grace Ministries. And Serena, if you'll pick up right there where you left off before we went into the break.
Yeah, so at 16, I found myself at Planned Parenthood again, and they said I was young and poor, and I should have an abortion. And that day, I went out to the parking lot, and my boyfriend, who grew up in the church, they never talked about abortion, and he asked what I thought about that, and I shared my story for the first time, and we chose life that day. And we were so blessed to have people within our church who held our feet to the fire, and kept us at a standard. But they also equipped us to be young parents. So we were both able to graduate high school. We got married, and by the time we were 23, we bought our first house. And we had two little kids, and we thought life was good. And then I had a miscarriage, and what ended up happening was I struggled with a double grief that I didn't understand, which resulted in us starting to have marital issues. And we just really didn't understand what was happening in our lives. And we also, I also ended up having some physical issues from the abortion that we didn't understand at the time as well. Which resulted in an ovary rupturing and almost losing my life and then I ended up needing a complete hysterectomy. And so then by the time my kids hit middle school, I was just really struggling with feeling like I was worthy enough to be a mother. And so my plan was that I was going to move out of our house, and I was going to bless my husband on so that my kids could have a better mother. He could have a better wife. And I really turned it to... In that period of my life, I turned to drugs. I turned to alcohol to numb my pain because I didn't want to feel anything. And what ended up happening was one night I had used and I was drunk and completely broken. And I went to my car and I prayed a simple prayer. And the prayer was, God, I have no one but you. And what I love is God saw me as a post-abortive woman who was high and drunk in my car. And he lavished me in a love that I'll never forget that night. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I needed to go home both physically and spiritually. And by God's grace, I drove back home and my husband met me at the door and we began our healing journey together. And God has so redeemed our life and our family. And that's how She Found His Grace ministry started for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to ask you a couple things about your very powerful testimony that you've shared, Serena. You mentioned that early in your marriage, your church loved you in a firm but an encouraging way. Can you share a little bit more about that? Because one thing I would say is that the church is in such a wonderful position to really help people to know truth and to walk in it as we unapologetically speak the truth in love, and then we love people as well. Would you share more how your church really loved you and helped you during that period?
Yeah. So as teen parents, you know, they had the tough conversations with us of, hey guys, you need to stop messing around and you need to, you know, yes, you have fallen short over here, but you know what? It's a redo. And so you need to stop doing that and live a life that's going to honor God. And so they were very clear about that. But In that whole process, they loved us well as far as coming alongside of us, helping us learn to be parents, helping us learn how to budget, setting us up for success. That was so valuable to us. They didn't enable us at all, but they set us up for success to be good parents as teenagers, you know, like, they would help us with babysitting so that we could finish school. And but they spoke truth into us. They held our feet to the fire, and that's what we needed. And I just really remember Bruce one day just, you know, we were just sitting and having a conversation and him saying, you know, like, hey, you know, we need to take this serious to honor God, and this is not what we're going to do. And, you know, and I respected him for that. That was so powerful for me. And so we made that decision to stop messing around until we got married, even though we had a baby. But we made that choice because we knew that was God's heart.
Mm. And, you know, Serena, I really appreciate you sharing that in that, because one of the real needs in the church culture is for the church to love people enough to tell them the truth and be the family God has called us to be, where we lovingly to say, hey, this is the way you need to begin to move, and this is what you need to begin to do different. I think of this, there's a need for so much more courage and commitment on the part of both leadership in the church and the church as a whole, because too often, in the name of quote-unquote being nice, we don't really help people with counsel that they need to begin to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And it's so good. So, but further thoughts about that?
Yeah. And the thing is, when church leadership talks to us about that, we can't have a heart of offense. You know, we have to be like willing to listen to wise counsel, right? Because they have our best interest in mind. And, you know, we can either choose what the world has to offer or what God has to offer us. And so, you know, I think, you know, we have to be willing to listen to that. And also for the church to recognize that, you know, yeah, there are going to be people that fall short. We all fall short. The Bible's clear about that. Mm-hmm. We all fall short of the glory of the Lord. And so, you know, we need to, you know, recognize that. And you know, some young lady, and I just sense this in my spirit right now, that there's some young lady that's pregnant right now, and she's just so worried of what people are going to think, or even, you know, her parents. But, you know, God values that life, And, you know, we, yeah, I don't know who that is. I don't know who this young lady is, but don't be afraid to tell people. And even if it's a shock to someone, God's not caught off guard by this. He created that life.
Serena, would you pray for women that might be in that position right now, that they would listen to the wisdom of God, and pray for the church to really be there to help and walk with them? Would you pray for those things at this time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, God, we pray for the women and couples that are in the church who, God, that might be facing an unplanned pregnancy today, and God, that they're fearful of what others will think. We think of the men and women who think that they might lose their ministry because of an unplanned pregnancy. And God, we ask that they would walk in truth, that God, that they hear that you are not caught off guard by this, that God, you have created this life. And that, God, you waste nothing, that God, that you will use this. And so, God, we thank you for them standing for life no matter what, that you have a purpose for that little one. God, we pray for the church. God, we know that the church has the answer to end abortion. And God, I pray that there would be more churches that would open their doors to single moms. That the church would have a plan in place for these women to know that they're welcome in the church, and that that is the first place that they can run to. That God, that they would run to the church instead of Planned Parenthood. And so, God, we are asking that you would change this narrative in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Serena. Serena, I wanted to ask you this question, too. At what point did you come to know Christ then? Like, what age were you when you received Christ?
Oh, I have such a fun story about this. I'm so glad you asked this. Mm-hmm. So I did not grow up in the church, but around fifth grade, there was a sweet man named Mr. Whistler who he... we rented a house from Mr. Whistler, and every Sunday he was so faithful in coming and picking up my sister and myself to bring us to church. And that's where the seed was planted about Jesus. And so Mr. Whistler gave me my first Bible, and so that was a sweet, sweet season in my life. And you know, the Lord was, I would say fifth grade was really when I learned about the Lord and knew that God had, you know, like had something for me that was different than what I experienced in my family. Now, with that all being said, when I was in the parking lot, I knew the love of God, and so I would say that's really a very pivotal moment in my life. Mm-hmm. So
in the fifth grade, you said, is when you received Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Father, thank you, Lord, for people like Mr. Whistler and others in the body of Christ, believers that desire to be used of you in conventional ways and unconventional ways, but who make it their business to be vessels you can use to share the gospel, to plant seeds in the lives of adults and children and young people as well. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that all of us play an important role in the wonderful work of evangelism and discipleship. And help us to know, Lord, that the need is all over the place for people to be saved. Many times some of those people live in our own home. Sometimes they live next door to us. Sometimes they live in our neighborhood. Sometimes they come in the form of little children who just don't go to church and need someone to take the initiative to get permission to bring them to church, to Sunday school or church or vacation Bible school, but Lord, help us to know that there's so many ways that people come to know Christ as you use people who just make themselves available to be used by you. Thank you for the opportunity to be just such a person as that. And thank you for the many, many Mr. Whistlers out there that are ready to be used by you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Sister Serena, I appreciate you mentioning that too. Again, evangelism is one of those important tasks that God lays before every believer. All of us have a responsibility. We're wise to carry gospel tracts with us and invite people to church regularly. If people need rides, be prepared to provide rides, because there are those who, again, will come and get saved just because we were in the right place at the right time by the grace of the Lord and the power of His Holy Spirit. So thank you again for sharing that. We're coming up on a break, but on the other side of the break, I'm going to ask if you'll share more about specifically the ministry She Found His Grace and people that have participated and been blessed by the ministry. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Serena Dykeson, the founder of the ministry She Found His Grace Ministries. We'll be right back.
David.
Music of Andrew Peterson with Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Serena Dykson. She's the founder of the ministry She Found His Grace Ministries. And Serena, if someone wants to get in touch with you or learn more about your ministry, She Found His Grace, how can they do that?
Yes, they can go to www.shefoundhisgrace.org. You can follow us on Facebook, She Found His Grace, and Instagram as well.
All right. And you have authored a book by the same title as the ministry, She Found His Grace. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And tell our listeners if they'd like to get a copy. The book, it largely tells the story. It's a much more expanded version of your testimony and what you've shared today. Is that right?
It does. And it's just such a beautiful story of God's redemption. And it goes into more detail. I just have to testify to something about this. So just yesterday, a young lady sent me a message and she said, I'm not religious, but this book made me pray for the first time. And so I just want you to know that God is using it as a tool for healing. Sometimes we think reading a book about abortion is going to hurt, but God has orchestrated this book in such a way to bring hope, healing, forgiveness, and freedom. And so I just want to encourage the hearts that are hurting that it's going to be a book of healing for you.
Mm. Well, share one more time. If someone wants to get the book again, tell them how they can get it.
Yep. So they can go to Amazon and look for She Found His Grace, and you can get it there or you can get it off of our website.
All right. Thank you. Serena, would you take time now specifically to pray for the church to mature and grow to where more and more the church really has a heart for both the life issue, but a heart and a desire to become the family that women who find themselves expecting a baby at a difficult time, the family that they need. So many times their own family may abandon them or neglect them or even shun them or make them ashamed because of the decisions they've made. But the church, when the church steps up to walk in the love of Christ, so many times that's exactly what the young lady needs. Would you pray for the church to grow in that regard?
Yes, yes. So, Father God, we just thank you for being a church that, a Big C church that loves women who are facing unplanned pregnancies, God, with lots of grace and compassion. That, God, that we would open our doors to the orphan, God, when they feel rejected by the world, that, God, that they would know this is a place of compassion, that, God, that they would be, they would experience your love like they've never felt it before. God, I pray for leadership of how to navigate this, and Lord, that they, across the United States, that ministries would spring forth for hands of grace to these women, that they would have an opportunity to know that they can go to the church with their unplanned pregnancy. God, we thank you for birthing new ministries across the nation. And God, we just thank you and praise you for this, and we pray this all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Serena.
Amen.
Now, Serena, what is your connection to, of course, the wonderful outreach that has been initiated by the Justice Foundation with Attorney Alan Parker called Silent No More? How are you a part of that outreach?
Yeah, so I have been part of sharing my testimony. I've shared my testimony at the Supreme Court. I'm thankful to be able to help others get connected to share their stories so that people can understand how abortion is hurting women. We want to be able to help men and women find freedom in Christ so that they're able to tell the truth about what abortion has done to them so that others can choose life. And I'm so thankful for Alan Parker and his role and the Justice Foundation of what they're doing to protect women and girls and babies from abortion.
Mm. I guess now, tell me if I'm correct, though, but amongst other things, the Silent No More campaign has collected literally hundreds of testimonies of women who've been down the road of abortion, who regretted it and wanted to share their testimonies to help others. Would that be a correct description of what that outreach is about?
Yep, that's 100% what they do. And recently, our team just went to San Francisco, and we helped share Silent No More testimonies in San Francisco. We've been part of their campaign in D.C. And if there's other women and men who have been part of an abortion and they regret it, you can go to the Justice Foundation website and you can submit your testimony so that others know that there is a real regret to having an abortion.
Mm. Would you take time now specifically to pray for the church to provide many more platforms and opportunities for individuals who've been down the road of abortion to share their testimony, because the Holy Spirit uses that testimony to do so many important things? Would you pray for that?
Yeah. So, Father God, we thank you for the church as they are equipped to walk alongside men and women who have been hurt by abortion, that God, that they would open their doors to women and men who have been, who regret their abortions, and that they would allow them to be able to come in and share their testimonies, that God, that they would have resources in the church, God, that they would be open to that, God, that they would know that there are a 1 in 4 sitting in their pews that are desperately hurting, and so that they would be open to just giving an opportunity for the healed voices to be able to speak and share. God, your word says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so, God, we thank you for opening doors for healing ministries. God, we thank you for other healing ministries that would open up, that God, that the church would know how to discern which ones are healthy, which ones are of you. And God, so we just pray for the leadership and discerning that as well. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for healing our land from abortion. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Serena, thank you so much for being with us today. Would you take time one more time, if someone wants to get in touch with you, is interested in maybe going through the ministry of She Founders Grace or getting the book again, tell them again how they can get in touch with you or your website,
yes,
how they can be in, reach you.
Yes. So if you have abortion in your past and you've been touched by this program today, don't hesitate to reach out. And go to She Found Us Grace, www.shefoundusgrace.org. We serve men and women, and you can do class online or in person. And, you know, you will be met with so much grace, so much love, and don't let the enemy, if the Lord is telling you to take the next step, just be obedient in that. Don't let the enemy convince you otherwise. And we would love to walk alongside of you because God has so much freedom for you.
All right. Well, thank you so much again, Serena, for being with us today. And let me just say again, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life and asking him to save you, today is a wonderful day to make that step. If you'd like to give your heart to Christ today and fully commit your life to Him, would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to obey it daily. Help me to spend time with you in prayer every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you once again. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource material that will be tools that can help you to grow up and grow strong and grow deep in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us. Once again, my email, joseph@afr.net. We definitely hope to hear from you. Well, Serena, one more time, if you would share one more time how our listeners can get in touch with you or learn more about your ministry.
Yep, you can go to www.keithoundthisgrace.org.
All right. Thank you so much, Serena, for being with us today.
Yes, thank you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.